Carl, speaking of that, talk for a moment about the notion of perpetual war and how the defense industry and private contractors rely on government contracts. Do you think they manufacture threat assessments in order to guarantee continued funding?
Well, we certainly know that the surveillance industrial complex is massive. In fact, Edward Snowden did not access the top secret documents that he did by working within the NSA. He had to work as a private contractor for Booz Allen, because Booz Allen Hamilton has got access to these tools of surveillance. And as he said, as a private contractor, he had the ability with an email to be able to wiretap anyone, including the presidents, he says, email communications and other communications. That has been privatized, and there's a huge profit incentive. There's a huge complex here. And the concept of permanent war. You know, the U.S. Constitution is very clear. There must be a declaration of war in order for the emergency powers that are ancillary to that to that declaration to come into possible effect. That is a critical element of democracy. There needs to be public debate before there is war. There needs to be a specific war before there is war, before expansive wartime authorities are used. But a new concept was developed under the Bush administration and is perpetuated under the current Obama administration, this notion that there is a permanent state of undeclared war, and therefore all authorities, regardless of the fact that they violate the Constitution, are available to the government. Now, this is completely anti-constitutional. It is against everything that frames the proper operation of government.
We're speaking with attorney Carl Massinio. We're getting his overview because his organization has been involved in both advocacy and litigation on behalf of the Movements for Social Change. We're getting his overview of what the surveillance state has accomplished, particularly with the Snowden and Manning revelations. Carl, can you speak further on what you think this government capacity has in terms of suppressing Movements for Social Change?
Well, that's an area where the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund's work has particularly been focused. As I was saying, before 9/11, we were securing in litigation and releasing to the public documents that established that anti-terror authorities, such as the Joint Terrorism Task Force, authorities that are very broad and very powerful, were being used not against, or not predominantly against terrorist suspects, but were being used routinely against, at that time period, prior to 2001, against the anti-globalization movement. After that, we've secured, both through litigation and public records demands, proof and evidence that those authorities continued then to be used against the anti-war movement, and then against the Occupy movement, so that what was the FBI reporting on and focused on in the days before the Boston Marathon bombing? Well, the demonstration activity that was going on in Boston under anti-terrorism authorities. And this is a historical reality of these powers. Anti-terror or anti-crime authorities have been used by the federal government as tools of social and political control and disruption. It's not just recent. This is exactly what J. Edgar Hoover did. This is what the COINTELPRO operations were when they tried to disrupt and subvert progressive social justice movements, the anti-war movement, the civil rights movement. All of those authorities were created ostensibly to prevent crime. But as a church committee reported in the aftermath of all of that, they were actually used for purposes outside of their justifications. They were used to target and to disrupt law-abiding democratic action in the United States. And this is the real threat. This is a predominant threat of having these tools of social and political control out there and systematically deployed so that the government and the corporations with whom they work hand in hand can anticipate, can know, and can suppress and disrupt democratic action, the lifeblood of a democracy, street movements, protest movements that are designed and intended to bring about a better culture, a better society, a better economic order.
Carl, what do you say about the fact that so many people in this country are reliant on personal electronic devices, thereby unwittingly perhaps allowing a direct portal from the government and corporations into their personal data? I know that even children from a very early age are targeted by retail marketers, Disney, McDonald's, getting them to be better consumers and to rely on really handing over personal data in exchange for befriend a fantasy creature and such. How would you advise people who say, well, we've gotten accustomed to this to conduct our communications, what can we do to roll back this tide of invasion of privacy?
We're not Luddites. Technology helps us. Technology is an advancement. Technology facilitates our transactions. It improves our lives. It enhances our communications. There is nothing negative about the fact that our transactions have been digitized. But they have been digitized. And along with technology comes an obligation of us to ensure that these tools of technology do not become distorted as tools of political and social and surveillance and population control. The reality is that we control how technology should be used. We can impose demands on the government. The government governs only by consent, and that's part of the violation here of all of this secrecy, the secret courts, the secret congressional briefings where even the senators are barred from discussing the information that they have. What can we do? Well, Ed Snowden, the other disclosures have all opened up a window of opportunity. And a new debate is occurring now across the country. It's a debate about how do we seize control over these technologies, because they don't need to be used against us. They can be used to facilitate what we transact. So at this point, we have a great window, and activism is necessary. What we're doing at the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund is a combination of activism and litigation. People need information. You can see the power of disclosure when people learn what the government is doing, and the government is operated in secret because it fears the public's reaction.